Hello, everybody. It's good to be back. Even though we can't gather together, nevertheless, it's good to gather around God's word, and I hope he blesses our time today. One of the most inspirational men I ever knew was known to everyone simply as Prof. His name was really Howard Hendricks. His friends and family called him Howie. But tens of thousands of his Dallas Seminary students all around the world still refer to him as Prof. He had this way of delivering piercing one-liners in his thick Philadelphia accent. Sometimes it was like learning theology from W.C. Fields or Fred Flintstone. But he opened our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to the blessings of careful Bible study and deep faith. One of his favorite lines was about a student he met in the corridor during exam season. "How are you doing?" asks Prof.
"Okay, I guess, under the circumstances."
"Under the circumstances? What are you doing under there?" It's a good question, and I hope it makes you stop and think. It certainly does me, even if I have a lousy Philadelphia accent. And if you're under the circumstances today, whether it's some specific test like exam season or something more general like the lockdown blues, I hope we can find some encouragement together in one of the best pick-me-ups around, Psalm 100. This is a psalm. It's poetry, and it speaks to us at the level of our emotions. It invites us to feel a certain way. It's heart work. Let me read it for you, and this is the New English Version. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." As I said, this is a psalm. It's poetry, and it speaks to us at the heart level. It invites us to feel a certain way about God and about our relationship to him. In an Old English translation, this psalm was set to a French tune from the 1500s, and the tune consequently took on the name the Old 100th. It was one of those old tunes that I loved to sing in school, long before I had any clue about what the words signified. I remember on the first day of big school, we were given two things as we filed into assembly: a little Gideon's Bible and a little school hymn book. Both were perfectly sized to fit in a school blazer pocket, so there was never an excuse for turning up without them. It didn't take long for the hymn book to start falling open automatically on the most popular tunes. And this was one of them. "All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice." You know the tune. "Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice." The four sections of this psalm fall nicely into four broad ideas, and they flow in sequence to lead our hearts to a place of rejoicing. Our reaction to God should be one of joy. And why is that? Well, because of our relationship to God. We are his. Our response to God, in that case, is to come near with thanksgiving. And why? Well, that's the reason for our trust. God is good and faithful from age to age. It's a very simple progression of thought, but sometimes we overlook it all too often. So as we make a start in coming to terms with this little song, I have to ask the question, just how joyful are you today? These are tough times. It's hard to find much to rejoice over. In politics, things seem to be out of control. In ethics, things seem to be chaos. In economics and even in general society, these are choppy waters that we're sailing in. We seem to be in a period of rapidly shifting times with unpredictable outcomes. Plans get cancelled or postponed. The people we trust to be running things sometimes don't always prove to be reliable. The people we trust to do things selflessly and honorably, well, they sometimes turn out to be in it just for themselves. And the people we trust to look out for our livelihoods and our property sometimes fall dismally short. With every disappointment, every betrayal, every setback, a little bit of anger can creep in. A little edge of bitterness can take hold until we end up snapping and snarling like a stray dog with an old bone. Or on the other hand, we can retreat and hide. We withdraw from the world because the world is a scary place, and we shut down in despair. We become isolated and reclusive, immune to help and unresponsive to others' concerns. We become spiritually paralyzed. Now, neither way is helpful. Neither way is going to see us through. But those are the ways we all too often choose just the same. The way of the dragon or the way of the dormouse, and neither way is joyful. Well, how do we react then to this call to worship that insists on a joyous celebration in all the earth? Listen to it again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now make a note, by the way, that it's not just a command for those who have the world by the tail and are warm and well-fed and hale and hearty. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing, all the earth. For the sake of this psalm, it doesn't sound like singing the blues is in order, does it? If you find yourself on the sharp end of life right now, if you're struggling to put food on the table, if you're at war with people in your family, if you are out of work and desperate, you might be tempted to complain at this command. Why? Why should I be joyful? What have I got to be excited about? Look at the circumstances I'm under. Well, the psalmist might say, what are you doing under there? And then he goes on to remind us of a few things that we might just have forgotten while we were preoccupied with our troubles. The first thing to remember is that God is God and we're not. And astonishingly, we have a unique relationship with him. Listen to verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is God. Specifically, Yahweh is God. That's what it denotes when you see the Lord in all capitals in the Bible. That's a sort of editorial code for the personal name of God, specifically as he relates to his people. That four-letter name is so personal, so intimate, that devout Jews even today won't try to pronounce it. When they read their Bible aloud, whenever they come to those four letters that denote the name, they either say, literally, the name, or they say Adonai, which is the general expression for Lord. On the occasions I've had to teach and tour in Israel, I've honestly learned to be careful and courteous when I speak in public about the name of the Lord. Now, it's one thing to know that our personal God is the one true God. But we also see quite clearly in these verses that he has created us to enjoy a particular place in his universe. He considers us as his own. He regards us as his flock. And like a shepherd, he cares for us. And that counts for something. And that puts our own circumstances in perspective a bit, doesn't it? Take sheep as the image of what we're like and how we behave. Sheep are essentially defenseless when left to their own resources. They can muddle along well enough if things are going smoothly, but when trouble comes, they're really not equipped for it. And if they're cut off from the flock and isolated, then they are really vulnerable. Easy pickings for all kinds of predators and all sorts of problems. What they need, and what sheep seem to naturally look for, is someone to look out for them and to lead them. Someone to gather in the strays, someone to keep them secure. The psalmist paints us into that picture. As people of faith, we understand that we are not God. We are not the masters of our own universe. We don't always like it, and we don't always act like it, but we accept it as true. And we acknowledge that we need a secure place when we are vulnerable and confused and anxious and isolated, like now. Out in the pasture is a scary place for us right now. We look for somewhere safe. Now, for the psalmist's generation, the safest place imaginable would be snug inside the gates of the temple precincts in Jerusalem. In the Hebrew mind, there was no more secure a place, close to the abiding presence of God on his holy hill. In the same way that the shepherd gathers his flock into the pen for protection, God calls the faithful to draw near to him and experience the peace and the security of his watchful care. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. That's the call of the shepherd, gathering his flock in close, where he can guard their hearts and minds against the evils of the day. Who wouldn't be thankful to hear that call when we know full well what the world can be like, when we take full stock of our tough circumstances? Doesn't it just make sense to move in closer to our God? Jesus said that we are his sheep and that we know our shepherd's voice. We know when it's time to come close. And shouldn't we be constantly thankful to him for making it possible? I'm reminded of the words of Moses as he gave his farewell speeches to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. He said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, "What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him?" Moses was impressing upon the Israelites the amazing privilege they enjoyed. The one true God had drawn near to them and had even dwelt among them, guarding them and leading them out of slavery and on towards a fruitful and beautiful land that had been long before promised for them to enjoy. It's in God's nature to invite people in close. And our thanks should flow freely when we accept the invitation. But wait, you say, isn't it also a bit scary to come close to Almighty God? Going back to Moses and the Israelites for a minute, they certainly thought so. When they saw the lightning flashes and heard the thunder of his powerful presence on Mount Sinai, well, they were terrified and insisted that they would never deal face to face with such an awesome and fearsome God. They demanded that Moses should intercede on their behalf, and they would watch and wait from a respectable distance. We know how that worked out. While Moses was gone, they got up to all kinds of deplorable mischief. The sheep of God's pasture don't always behave well when they think he isn't watching. Close to God is always the safest place to be if you're one of his own. Why? Why, you ask? Well, it's in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Perhaps you've read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. Do you remember the scene where Susan asks Mr. Beaver for clarification about the mysterious Aslan, who, by the way, represents Christ in the allegory of the story? Mr. Beaver surprises Susan with his description. Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan, I'd thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I should feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. I love that. Yes, God is powerful. Yes, he's fearsome, but he's good. And he loves his people with the kind of love that never fades or fails. If you need a guardian for your soul, well, he's easily up to the task. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. And if you are his promise is to stay close, to be with you all the way through your circumstances, whatever they might be. Now, he doesn't promise to pluck you out of the storm. He promises to shelter you through the storm. And when the storm has passed, he promises to call you to a place of rest, a green pasture with still waters, a place of perfect safety and eternal life. Don't think of your life as trudging, aimless and lonely under your circumstances. He has already called you, and he is with you along the way. You're not under your circumstances. You are close to God, regardless of your circumstances, and that is something to celebrate. Amen.